We're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, the second line of the wider lines. We learned in the Mishnah Dinim Mominus Vishloisha that Dinim Mominus require three Dayanim. We talked about the different opinions. What kind are there opinions that you don't need three for Dinim Mominus, that you can get by with less. Shmuel said it works with two, but it's called based in Chotzof. We said, do they need smicha? Do they not need smicha? We went through all of that. So the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, Dine Mominus Bishloisha, Dine Mominus has to be judged by a base din of three. Rebbe Omer Bachamisha, Rebbe says they have to be judged by five. Kadeshi Gomra, Din Bishloisha. So that way, the Psak Din will be with three. In other words, we talked about previously the source where we know that we need three Dayanim. We had two different opinions, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. So now Rebbe is saying that so that when we say Kadeshi Gomra Din Bishloisha, so that the din will be completed with three, it makes it sound like he's requiring at the end you have three Dayanim. So the question is, what does he mean? What does that mean? And if you have three, you're going to have a psak din based on the two of them. Isn't that enough? So why does Rebbe require five in order that there should be three? There's going to be three throughout the whole thing. So the answer is Hochikama. What Rebbe says is that he means Mipnesha Gmar Din Bishloisha, because he requires that the final Psak Din should be done by three. In other words, Kadesh Yigomer Hadin Bishloisha means that the Din should be decided in the presence of three. But the Gemara was bothered by that, then what do you need five for? So no, we're saying not Kadesh Yigomer Hadin, but Mipnesha Gmar Din Bishloisha. The actual final Psak Rebbe holds has to be given by three. So therefore, you need a minimum of five, because if you only have three, what if they don't unanimously agree? What if it's two against one? Rebbe is saying that that's not good enough. You actually need to have that three Dayanim sign off on this psak, and therefore you need a minimum of five to start with. Well, the Gemara says Amo Chasavar, so that shows evidently Rebbe holds Tlosa Kiksivi when it says that you require three Bigmar Dina Ksivi. He holds that that's referring to the Gemar Din. All this time we were talking about appointed of Yoshi or appointed of Yonasan, that it means that you just need to have three present for the Din Torah, but that says we don't require that all three of them should unanimously agree to it. Now we're saying, appointed of Rebbe, apparently you need that all three of them unanimously agree to it. And therefore, so in order to have that, you're going to need a minimum of five. Obviously, you could have it happen with three, but there's no guarantee because they may split 2-1. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Megadif bar Rababohu. Rababohu was Megadif at that. Now, the word Megadif sometimes we use as a lashon of cursing later on in the Masechta when we talk about the dinim of Birkas Hashem. We're going to be using that expression. It comes from a pasuk, as Hashem hu Megadif. So it can mean that, like Rab Abba cursed out and then criticized severely this explanation. There is actually an explanation, though, from the Gaonim that the word Megadif literally means to make a wiping motion. So the explanation from the Goinim that it means like he made a motion with his hand, like what kind of an explanation, like a kind of dismissive wave of a hand that you might do to say what kind of an explanation is that? Rabbi Bohu says, how can you possibly explain that that's what Rebbe means? Elameata, by that logic, if you're going to say that whenever the Torah says a number of Dayanim, that there has to be, that it refers to, according to Rebbe, the number who actually sign off on the verdict, not the ones who agreed to the verdict, not just the ones who were present for the discussion. Elameata, by that logic, then by that logic, the Sanhedrin Gdola should have to have 141 members. So that way, when they give a psak, then you'll have a minimum of 71 dayanim to sign off on it. And we know, of course, that's not so. By the same logic, we said in the Mishnah that a Sanhedrin Ktana, that judges Dini Nefashis, has to be a minimum of 45. But Rabbi Bohu says, if you're going to tell me that the point is that you need that the Mishnah had said you need 23 of a minimum, but if you're going to tell me the point is that according to Rebbe, the number of Dayanim it says is not the number that we need to be present for the deliberations, but rather that need to be the ones who agree to the Psak Din, then by that logic, again, you would need 45 members, Kadeshi Gomar Din, Vishloisha Vestrim, so that the Gomar Din will be given by 23. And we obviously find no such thing. Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, as far as the Sanhedrin Gdola is the real question, because by the Sanhedrin Gdola, the pasuk clearly says that you have 70, and then, okay, you have the Machlokas, whether it means 70 or 71, whether Moshe counts as one of the 70 or not, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds 70, the Chacham holds 71, and at the end of the Perek, we're going to deal with the underlying Machlokas. The Sanhedrin Katana, really, actually, all it is, as we learned in the Mishnah, in principle, you only need 20. The only reason why you need 23 is because of that whole business with that you need a super majority in order to convict, so that brings us up to 22, and then you can't have an even number based in, so therefore you need 23. So strictly speaking, then, following Rabbi Bo's logic, we would say you wouldn't need 45 for a Sanhedrin Katana, really you would need 39. But be that as it may, the point is, neither 39 nor 45 do we ever find any such thing that a Beis Din has to be that number. So the bottom line is, in other words, Tosfos actually leaves it as a question. Why does Rabbi Bo say 45, where in fact, on the face of it, based on his logic, 39 would be enough? So okay, the Rosh says, because listen, you know, once we're saying that it's true, it doesn't say in the Pasuk the number 23, but once we derive it from the Ribuyim that we said in the Mishnah, because you need to have a super majority of two, and you can't have an even numbered based in, so therefore it's considered as though 23 said in the Pasuk, and then in turn, according to Rebbe, we would say that you would need 45, which is why Rabbi Boho is using that expression. Anyway, obviously we don't find that. So therefore, obviously Rabbi Boho says, no, Ella, where obviously what it means is when the Torah says, when Hashem says to Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish, when Hashem tells him, gather to me 70 men, Amar Achmana, Hashem says, means Meshasa Sipa Shivim, means at the time they're gathered together, you have to have 70. Similarly, the Shaftu Eda, the Tzilu Eda, when the Pasuk says that there has to be an Eda who's voting, who's judging to convict him, and an Eda that's voting to acquit him, and as we said in the Mishnah, an Eda consists of 10. So Nami said the same thing, Meshas Shvitasa Eda, it means when they're judging, from when they sit down to start judging the case, is when you have to have the 10 and 10. And then you have the additional ones in order to get a super majority and to not deadlock, etc. So the point is, in other words, that obviously in all those cases, it means that the Torah is implying a number that you have to have at the time of the verdict, just the number that's final off on the verdict, just a number that you have to begin with in order to sit as a Beis Din. So Hochanami, well, the same thing over here. The Nikra Balabais El Elakim, when the Pasuk says the Balabais, the Shomer and the Maskid are coming to Beis Din, when it says that they come El Helikim, and they come to Elikim, and as we learned yesterday, that implies a Beis Din of three. So it just means Meshas Kriva Shloisha. It means when they approach the Beis Din, then the Beis Din has to consist of three. So where is Rebbe getting the idea that you need to have five? Ella Hainu Taima Derim. So rather, Rebbe's reasoning is as follows. The Pasuk says, Asho Yashi'un Elikim. The Pasuk says that they come El Elikim, they come to the expert judges of Beis Din to get the case decided, and then the Pasuk says, Asho Yashi'un Elikim, the one whom Elikim declare guilty, and the word Elikim itself is always in plural form, but the word Yashi'un is also in plural form. They will declare him guilty. So that implies Tre. So that implies another two Dayanim. So now you have like this, Nemer Elikim Lamata, V'Nemer Elikim Lamaila. In the two psukim, back to back, it mentions the word Elikim. It mentions Ad Elikim Yovid Varshnehem, and it mentions, actually it's in the same pasuk, Ad Elikim Yovid Varshnehem, and Asher Yashiun Elikim. So we said actually there are three times in the psukim that it says Elikim. As we discussed previously, we said Rabbi Yoshia holds that each one of them teaches us that you need a Dayan, so therefore putting them together means that we need three Dayanim, and then we said Rabbi Yonasan had said you don't use the first one because that's needed to teach us that we need mumchim, and therefore we leave that one out, and therefore we only have two, and then we say that a Beis Din can't be even numbered. So now Rebbe says, since it says Elikim twice in the Psukim, that's relevant for our purposes, so Nemra Elikim Lamata, it says further on, Asher Yashiun Elikim, but Nemra Elikim Lamaila, and then earlier it says that they have to come to Elikim, they have to come to the Beis Din. Therefore we learn from that, Malamata Shnaim, Aflamaila Shnaim. So we learn that in both Psukim we're talking about two Dayanim, because in the second Pasuk it says Yashiun, and that's clearly a plural, so therefore it means there have to be two of them. We learn from Xer Shava, says Rebbe, that in the earlier pasuk also, when it says v'nikra balabais el elikim, means you need two, and so therefore, so far you have four. The in Beis Din shopul, and as usual, a Beis Din cannot be even numbered. Harekan chamisha. Therefore, there you get your fifth dayan. So when Rebbe had said you need five, now he had used the expression Kadesh Yigomar Din Bishloisha. We thought that Rebbe meant that it means that the verdict has to be delivered by three dayanim. We're saying it's not so. Rebbe does agree that it's fine, that it would be fine otherwise. But he's saying, in other words, in order that, in other words, he would say that if we only had four, then you might have a deadlock of two and two. So in order to make, in order to make it possible that there should be a verdict by three, then that requires five. But he's saying not based just on the logic that in order to get three, you need to start out with five, but rather he's doubting it from the psukim, that the reason the Torah is insisting on five is in order to have a verdict delivered by three. V'rabbanan, what are the Chacham answer to that? They say Yarshi Onksin. Sure, it says in the Pasuk Yarshi Un, we pronounce the word Yarshi Un with a short, with a kubutz under the ayin, which makes it a plural, but the fact is that it's written in the Torah without the Vav, and therefore we can read it as though it said Yarshi On, or Yarshi Ein, or whatever, and therefore we would, that would be a singular. So therefore, you, Rebbe, are telling us that you learn from that it means two dayanim because it's a plural. But no, actually, we don't learn from that it's two because it's written in the form of a singular. And therefore, we're back to what we said before, that you have three times a lekim, or we only count two out of the three of them, and therefore we only need three dayanim, and not five, so they don't accept Rebbe's zera shava, in short. So the Gemara digresses over here to talk about as follows. Now, so we have, this is one of many examples that we find throughout Shas where a word is written a certain way in the Torah, and we're able to read it because, it's, after all, the Torah is written without Nekudas, so therefore we're able to read it as though it was written a different way. As though it had different Nekudas. There's Bechlal. I mean, the Nekudas themselves were not written down until the times of the Goyim. There are opinions. There are those who say that they were invented during that time by the Baal Yom HaSodah. However, based on Zohar, it comes out that obviously the Nekudas themselves existed from the beginning. You can't pronounce Lashon Kodesh without Nekudas. But when it comes to the symbols for the Nekudas, so that we first find those symbols written in the times of the Gaonim by the Baal Yom HaSodah. So there is an opinion by Rabbi Elia Bacher, famously, who says that they were actually invented in that time, and that until then there were no particular symbols for them. Based on the Zohar, though, it seems that the Zohar says not so. The actual symbols for them are also Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, just they were like the rest of Torah Shebaal Peh. They weren't written down until the time came that it needed. That needed to be done. So in any case, though, but the point is, the Sefer Torah obviously is still written without Nekudas, and therefore you have many words in it where you could conceivably read them two possible ways. One with the Nekudas that we have, but given the consonants that are written there in the Torah, you could equally well read it another way. So now the question becomes, which one of those is more important? That concept, that argument is called Yesh Eim Mikra or Yesh Eim Masoris. Yesh Eim Mikra would be that we focus more, we're more interested in the Mikra in the actual way that we're told to pronounce it. As in our example over here, where Rebbe says, since the word is pronounced Yarshi Un, we have the Kabbalah, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the word is supposed to be pronounced Yarshi Un with a kubutz, which is a plural, then therefore we use that, and therefore we read that in the Torah, obviously everybody agrees we read it that way in the Torah, but therefore we can derive dinin from that. Whereas we're saying the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe hold what's called Yesh Eim Masodas, meaning the Masodas, the way that's transmitted to us to write the words in the Torah, is the more significant thing. So now a couple of interesting things in it. First of all, why do we call it Yesh Eim Lamikra versus why do we use the word Eim, which means a mother? So there's actually an interesting explanation that's brought from the Halichas Olam, which is a sefer on the fundamental klolim of Gemara. So like this, we have what's called a binyan av. We know that in the Yud Gomer Midas Chaturin Adreshes Behem, we have a binyan av where the Torah tells us something in one place and we derive from it to apply the same din in other places. So therefore, it's called an av, a father. In the sense that you learn it from one place to another, like the way a father teaches his children. So that's binyan av. But then why over here do we use the word aims? Actually, the Rif deals with it in his Shilos HaTruvas. It's the first Truva in the Rif. He explains it. So he wonders. He starts by saying we haven't really heard from our Rebbeim a specific answer why sometimes we use a word like binyan av versus yesh aim l'mikra. He says basically because when it comes to a binyan av, we're learning from it to something else. So again, like the Halukas Olam says later on, like a father teaching his children, as opposed to yesh aim l'mikra or yesh aim l'masodas over here is just what do we learn in this particular place, not where it's relevant from that to someplace else, not that we're deriving from this to someplace else, but we need to know in this particular pasuk what do we do. And then there's the idea, there's the idea al pi zoyar that Ovicha and Imecha refer respectively to Torah Shavachsav and Torah Shavalpeh, and when it comes to again the Nekudas are part of Torah Shavalpeh, so therefore we use the word yesh aim lemikra that we're saying therefore that the aim. The Torah Shavalpeh, which tells us how to pronounce this word, is the more important thing. In any case, so there's a lot more discussion about that, but in any case, so there is this underlying machlokas, which one is the more important one when it comes to darshaning psukim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak by Yossi, or Yosef, Amar Rav Yechanan, Rebbe, V'Rav Yehuda ben Royetz, Obes Shammai, V'Rav Shimon, V'Rav Akiva, those five Tanoim, Kulu Sviru Lahu Yesh Ein L'Mikra. All of them hold that the Mikra, the way we're told to pronounce the Pasuk, the way we're told to pronounce the word in the Pasuk, is the more significant thing. Meaning, Tosfa says, when they contradict one another, when they don't, then everybody agrees. The Gemara is going to end up saying that everybody agrees you do that anyway, but right now, even at this stage of the Gemara, it knows that where they don't contradict one another, then we darshan both of them. But here we're talking about, like, this word yarshi'un over here. If we read it, if we darshan it the way it's read, then it's a plural. If we don't, if we look at the letters in the Sefer Torah, then it's a singular. So therefore, so you have a contradiction between them, and the Macholikas is which one is the more significant as far as the Durasha. So these five Tanoim all hold that the way we pronounce it is the more significant one. So let's go through that. The Gemara says, Rebbe Hodam Moran. Rebbe, we just said how we know that, because we see when it comes to this word Yarshi'un, that Rebbe focuses more on the actual pronunciation of it, even though in the Torah it's written without the vav. Next, Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz, the Tanya, where we see Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz hold of this concept. The Tanya, within a Braisa, Shalu Talmidim as Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz's Talmidim asked him as follows. Now, we know the Torah tells us that when a woman gives birth, if she gives birth to a boy, then she's Tomei for 7 days, and then after that she has Dam Toihar for the next 33 days, namely that if she bleeds, that if she continues to have uterine bleeding during the next 33 days, then it's actually Dam Toihar. She's also to eat Kirma and Kodshim, but she would be Mutter to her husband. And then at the end of the 40 days, 7 plus 33, she brings a korban. Now, by a girl, nowadays we don't do dam toya, but anyway, by a girl, though, the Torah says that when she's tomei after the birth, the pasuk says the tomei shvu'ayim kenidasa. She becomes tomei for shvu'ayim like the way she is when she is a nida. So the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, how do we know that the word is written in the Torah, shin veiz ayin yud mem? Which could be read Shvu'ayim, which means 2 weeks, but it could also be read as the word Shivim, which means 70. So the Talmidim asked him, Ekrani Shivim, how do we know that the word is not meant to be read Shivim, and it would mean that she's Tomei for 70 days after the birth? So Yochol Teheye Ledes Nekeva Tmeya Shivim Yot Shivim. So you would think that maybe a woman who gave birth to a baby girl is Tomei for 70 days. And so he answers them, Tmei V'tihur B'zohar, he says, I'll show you by logic. We see the Torah says that there's a tumah and a period of tumah v'tara after a boy is born and after a girl is born. So, makshatir v'zachar v'nekeva kiflayim. Now, let's consider, when it comes to the Yimei Toihar, there's 33 for a boy and there's 66 for a girl. That the Torah says explicitly, the number 66. So, we see, when it comes to the days of Tara, the days where even though she continues to have uterine bleeding, she's still tohar to her husband, we see clearly that there are 66 days of that, which is twice 33 for the boy. After Timi Bezachav in a cave of Kiflayim. The same way we can say by analogy that when the Torah says the amount that she's Tomei for a boy, then it's double that amount for a girl. So therefore, that would yield 14 days rather than 70. Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could have given, Rabbi Yehuda could have given them another answer as well, since the Pasuk says, Kenidasa, then it means that an extra amount of time equal to the amount that she's Nidah. She's Nidah for 7 days, so therefore it means an extra amount of time equal to the 7 days. So he could have answered that, but whatever. The point is, in other words, it's true, the word itself might be read Shivim, but the fact is that you have an inference from the Pasuk that it really means only 14. Why it is that it's more with a girl than with a boy, there are different explanations, this isn't the place to get into it. That's the Shem when we learn Masechta Nidah, in a couple of years from now, we may discuss it in fuller detail. Anyway, so, La'acha sheyotzu, so then after the Talmudim left, Yotzu machzer achareim, then Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz went to try and find them again, Omer Lahen, he tells them, you know what, I just realized, Iyatim skukim lakach. You don't really need that. There's a better explanation. Shvu'ayim Karinan. The fact is, we do read it Shvu'ayim, v'yesh ein l'mikra. And we see that yesh ein l'mikra, the way we pronounce it, is considered more important than the way that we say it, than the way that it's written in the Torah. So there, here we see it. Yehuda ben Roitz then is one of the ones who holds this way, that the way that we, that the way that it's, that it's written in the Torah is the more significant thing. So, the way that it's pronounced is the more significant thing, which is yesh ein l'mikra. In other words, never mind the logic that we use, just the fact that we have the Kabbalah to read the word shvayim, then that tells us it's 2 weeks and that's that. Next. Beth Shammai, where do we see Beth Shammai holds of such a concept? Vitznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim, Beth Shammai, kol nitonan ha-mizbeach ha-chitzon, all the blood that's applied to the mizbeach ha-chitzon. Now we know, we have different types of korbanos that get different numbers of applications of blood. B'chor and Meiser and Pesach get only one. Most korbanos get Shtayim Shein Arba. Achatos has it daubed with the kohen daubs it with his finger on the four corners of the mizbeach. Anyway, Beis Shammai says that all of them shenosin b'matana achas with most of the korbanos. If he were to do only one application of blood kipper, then b'diavad he's been mechafer and the korban is kosher. Shenema b'dams v'chacha yishofech, as the pasuk says, the blood of your korbanos should be spilled, implying, in other words, that you just need the dievet, one spill of the mizbeach, of the blood on the mizbeach, and the korban is kosher. The words are in parenthesis over here because Maharsha takes them out. The Mishnah in Zvachim does not actually bring those words. Anyway, Beis Shammai says of a chatas shtei matonis. However, when it comes to a chatas, you would need to have a minimum of two applications of blood out of the four in order for the korban to be kosher. But Hillel holds that even with a chatas, the dievet, if you did only one, then it still works. Now, when it comes to blood on the mizbeach ha-pnimi, it's not like that. As we say in Ezra Makoyman in the morning, as we say, matana achas mehen ma'akovas, when it comes to the ones that are applied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh, then those, even one application missing, makes the korban possible. But when it comes to ones on a mizbeach ha-chitzon, everybody agrees that some of the applications are not strictly necessary. You yotze the korban without that, but you have the machlokas b'shamay b'shilol about how many you need. According to b'shamay, one with most korbanos and two with a chatos, and according to b'shilol, one across the board. Rav Huna explains in the Gemara in Zvachim, my time into Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say that it's enough for that by a chatos you need two? So like this, because in connection with the various types of chatos, now you have various types of chatos that are brought. You have the special chatos that a kohen gadol brings if he makes a mistake in halacha and follows it, which we'll learn about in Masechta Hodias, Bez Hashem. You have the similar korban that the Beis Din brings if they make a mistake. Sanhedrin Gola makes a mistake in halacha and most of the people follow it. Then it talks about various other kinds of chatos. You have the chatos that the king brings if he does an aveira, and then you have the chatos that a regular person does. By each one of them, it says the word karnos. It says that you have to put the blood on the horns, on the corners of the mizbeach. So Beis Shammai says, three times it says karnos, 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 shalosh pamin. Three times it says, karnos, 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 it says three times the word karnos. So, So the three times, actually, no. So we're not counting the ones that are mentioned by we're not mentioning the ones that are mentioned by the Par Koyin Mashiach and the Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur, because those are a different type of chatas. Those the blood is actually brought into the Kodesh and sprinkled over there, so those don't count. But within the regular chatas, you have as follows. You have the chatas of the king. If he does something that makes him chayiv chatas, then you have, when it comes to a yochid, a regular or hediot, a regular person who does an aveda that makes him chayiv chatas, the Torah describes he could bring a goat as a chatas, a female goat, or he could bring a female sheep. And the Torah repeats the details by each one of them, and by each one it says that the Kohen has to place the blood, al kaun nois hamizbeach. So three times it says in those psukim, kaun nois. Well, Beshamai says, so it's 3 times 2 = 6. So therefore, how they can shake. So that would mean, in other words, so far that we have six applications of blood. Now, obviously, you can't really have 6 applications. There are only 4 corners of the mizbeach, so there's no way that you could have six. So therefore, so Beth Shammai says, Arba la mitzvah, it means 4 of them are teaching us twice that it says kaun nois in a plural, means 4, 2 times 2, teaches us la mitzvah, that the proper way of doing the mitzvah is to do 4. Or shtayim, la'akev, and then the other 2 teach us la'akev, that the minimum that are necessary are 2. There's a concept, Rashi mentioned the point, Rashi in Zvachim on the Sugya explains that Beis Shammai says like this. We have a general rule when we get to Seder Kodshim, we'll talk about it a lot of times, Beis Hashem, that you have a rule by Kodshim, in order for something to be ma'akav, it has to be shana olav akosu. The pasuk has to repeat at least twice to repeat a point at least twice in order to say that it's actually ma'akiv. If it says it only once, it means you should do it that way, but if you didn't, the korban is still kosher. So Beis Shammai then is saying that it needs to repeat in order to say that 2 of the matonis are required, so it has to repeat the word kaun nois. And again, each time kaun nois means 2, because it's read as a plural. So they're saying, in other words, in effect, what the Torah is telling us, it's saying 4 times, and then out of those 4, it's telling us 2 of them are ma'akav by repeating the word kaun nois again. Therefore, Beis Shammai says, we learn from that you need a minimum of 2 in order for it to work. So that's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel takes the view as follows. Kaun nois, kaun nas. Beis Hillel says it's true. Every time it's read, kaun nois. But 2 out of the 3 times, it says it's written in the Torah without the vav after the nun. So therefore, we're able to read it as though it said kaun nas, meaning the horn of. So it would be one horn. So Beis Hillel says, in other words, in effect, what you have is only 4. You have kaun nois, which is written and read as a plural, so therefore that means 2. Then you have kaun nas, and another kaun nas means 1 each. So you have only 4. Well, therefore, Beis Hillel says, Sahare kan arba, so it comes out, you only have 4, a reference to 4 counters. Shloi shalom mitzvah v'achas la'akim. So they were going to say 3 of them means the mitzvah has to be that you have to do 3 of them plus the initial one. V'achas la'akim, and 1 to be ma'akim, meaning in other words, according to Beis Hillel, you only need 1, but ideally you should do the other 3, and therefore the Torah is telling you 3 more times, is hinting 3 more times about kaun nois in order to tell us that the other 3 should be done, but they're not ma'akim. Now, there is a point in that. Now, first of all, a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, our Sifrei Torah and our Chumashim do not have the words written like that. By our Sifrei Torah, every one of them is written kaun nas, is written choser. So it's an example actually where we have sometimes the Masorah as we have it in our Sifrei Torah and our Chumashim is different than the way that the Gemara has it. That's just how it is. There were different Masorahs. Even now we have slight differences between, for example, Ashkenazic and Sephardic Sifrei Torah versus the Yemenite Sifrei Torah. There's about 9 differences between them. As far as Psua Daka, whether it's written with an aleph for a hey, so here we have the Gemara is following the Masorda that they had, which is that one of them is written Molei, and the other 2 Chaser, but in our Sifrei Torah, they're all written Chaser. So there is that point. It's true that they're not spelt. That it's true it's not spelt the same way as it is in the Torah. But another point is over here that we learned on the previous Amud Ein Doshin Tchilus. We said that according to Rabbi Yonason, we said, and actually we said both Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshia agreed that Ein Doshin Tchilus. We said that the first time it says something in a pasuk, we can't necessarily use it to douch in towards a number because the Torah needs to say the word just to tell us the actual fact. So then, according to here, so how is Bes Shammai or Bes Hillel using the first mention of the word? Mephoshim asks this question. The Rosh says when you have all the psukim are in one parasha, then we like we had before by Elikim, where all of them are mentioned in connection with a shomer, then you can say that one of them is meant to teach us the basic din and the other ones are there extra and therefore we can darshan from them. But here, each one is a separate parasha of its own. So it means that we can douch in each one of them. The Torah Chaim gives a different answer. He says because here where the Torah could have used a different word instead, for example, in the case of Taunos over here, for example, the Torah could have said that it should be sprinkled Saviv around the Mizbeach. It didn't have to say the word Taunos each time, and therefore we can use the word Taunos each time for the Darasha. Anyway, the point is, so the Gemara finishes off to explain Bes Hillel, the Eima Kulula Mitzvah. So fine, if Bes Hillel is saying there's nothing repeated over there, then, and again, we say that, by Karbonis, it has to be Shana Olava Kosev La'akiv, only if it repeats it, are we saying that it's Ma'akiv? So maybe we should say, according to Bes Hillel, all four Matonis are optional, and if you didn't do any of them, then the Korban is still kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, come on, kapara b'chdilay ashchan. We never find that a kapara is going to work for nothing. You have to have some application of blood to mizbeach in order for the korban to be kosher. But Bes Hillel is saying once you have the one, then that's good enough, and the other three are meant to be only the mitzvah. So the point is, we see from this that Beis Shammai holds Yesha in Lamikra. They hold, here you have, it's written in the Torah, Kaunas, in some of the places at least, as though it was Kaunas, one horn, but we read it in every place, Kaunos, plural. So therefore, Beis Shammai holds, we have to look at the plural in Daushening, whereas Beis Hillel is saying that we have to look at the fact that it's written in the Torah in a singular form. So that's another example of Bishra. That's another one in Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef's list of Tanoim who hold Bishamai is in that list of ones who hold Yesha and Lamikra that we have to follow what we have to follow for the Drushas, the way it's read and not the way it's written. Next, Reb Shimon. Where do we see Reb Shimon holds of such a concept? D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa and Masech the Sukkah, when it comes to the walls of a Sukkah, Shtayim Kilchasen, you need a minimum of two full walls, or Shlishes Afilu Tefach, the third wall could be even a Tefach, and that's good enough, and it counts as a whole wall. The Gemara explains there exactly how it has to be placed, but whatever the point is, in principle, you only have one tefach of actual wall. Reb Shimon, I'm a shalosh kilchasen or rabbi, after the tefach. Reb Shimon says you need to have a minimum of three complete walls, and then the fourth one can be at least a tefach. So, where do we get this from? Amai Kamitsky, what's the machlokas? So the same thing, Rabbanan Savri Yeshem Lamasoda, Reb Shimon Savri Yeshem Lamikra. The Rabbanan hold now, when it comes to Daushening, you have to follow the Masoda, the way it's written in the Torah. And Reb Shimon holds Yeshem Lamikra, you have to follow the way that's read. So let's go through the same kind of thing. The pasuk says, basukas, harekan arba. So the Rabbanon hold, again, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkahs, it says three times in the pasuk the word basukos, but two of them are written chaser. So therefore, again, the ones that are written chaser, we daushin as though it said in the singular form, basukas, in the sukkah, and then you have one of them that's written with a vav after the chaf, so it has to be read as plural, so therefore basukos, harekan arba, therefore the chum say, altogether you have four. Here, unlike the taunos as before, here it does agree with how we have it in our Sifrei Torah. We do in fact have, in the pasuk, basukos teshu shivas yamin, called Ezra Chisor, B'Yisrael, Yeshu basukos, Laman Yedu Dereseichem, Ki basukos, Yeshavti Esbnei Yisrael, we do in fact have them written like that in the Torah, the first two chasr, the third one malay. Anyway, so harekan arba, so the chum say, therefore we see that you have four. Dal chad kro legufe, subtract one which we need for legufe to tell us that you have a mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, partial arba, that partial shalosh, partial plus, therefore that leaves us three. So fine, so you have three, Asoi Hilchsa. Now you have a halacha l'moshe Sinai of the concepts of that the Gemara mentions over there, Lovod and Dofen Akuma and other such things. The whole concept of what constitutes a valid mechitza is all part of halacha l'moshe Sinai. So the halacha l'moshe Sinai in this case, garata l'shlishis, it reduces the size of the third one instead of requiring a full third one, but it kinta tefach and tells us that a tefach is enough. But basically, you start out with that the Torah is telling you you need three walls. Reb Shimon saw. Meanwhile, Reb Shimon holds basukois. Reb Shimon says no. You have to follow the fact that it says basukois each time. It's read as a plural. Never mind how it's written in the Sefer Torah. He says yesha in the mikra. You have to go according to how it's read. Well then, harei kan sheish. So that means six. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have a hexagonal sukkah. It means chdal chad krolegufe. Fine, I agree with you, Chacham. One of them is needed to tell us the basic concept that you need to live, that you need to dwell in a sukkah during sukkahs. Poshalu arba. Therefore, he says that leaves a reference to four walls. So asoy hilchsa gerata l'revius. So therefore, the halacha l'moshe Sinai comes and reduces the size of the fourth one. V'oikmei a tefach and says that a tefach would be good enough. But that's why he says you need three complete walls and a tefach for the fourth one. For the fourth one, because he says basically the Torah is indicating to you that you need three, that you need four walls, as opposed to the Chachamim are saying basically the Torah is indicating that you need only three. So Reb Shimon is another one of these ones who holds Yeshayim Lamikra. Next, Reb Akiva, where do we see Reb Akiva holds of this concept? D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Reb Akiva Oimer, minayim l'revius dam sheyotzim mishnei mesim. How do we know if you have a revius of blood that came out of two different dead bodies? Now, if a revius of blood comes out of a body, out of one single dead body, everybody agrees that that blood is metamei a person. But now you have, what if you have two mesim, and a little bit of blood came out of one, and a little out of the other one, and together it forms a revius, shematame ba'oihel, how do we know, says Reb Akiva, that would be enough to be metamei a person who's under the same roof as it. So shenema, because the pasuk says by a kohen gadol, va'al kol nafshes meis lo yavoi, that you should not come to a place where there are nafshes, where there are souls of the dead, he should not come. So therefore, so he said. The blood itself is nefesh, ki adam hu nefesh. So therefore, nafshes means that you have two. So you have two people, b'shtei nefashos, so therefore shtei nefashos v'shir echad. Therefore, he says it means that you have two nefashos, two different batches of blood, which all together make up one shir, and that's enough to make the person tamei. V'rabbanan nafshasks. Even again, the Chachamim say that you have to look at the fact that in the Torah the word nafshos is written without the vav, so we can read it as nafshas, which is a singular. So here again, we see Rabbi Akiva holds Yeshayim Lamikra, and the Chacham holds Yeshayim Lamasodas, so that we have to go according to how it's written in the Torah. The Bala Turim on the Pasuk actually mentions an interesting remez also for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The halacha is in the end like the Chachamim, but he brings an interesting remez for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. In that Pasuk, every two words in that Pasuk end with the same letter. So you have the al kol, which ends with lamed, nafshois meis, which both end with tuf, loy yovoi, which both end with an aleph, la'av vivo la'imoi, two words that end with a vav, loy yitama, both end with an aleph. So it's a remez for Rabbi Akiva's idea over here that you have two meisim and one revius of blood from between the two of them, and it's enough to be metame. The halacha in the end is like the chachamim, though, that it's, the halacha in the end is like the chachamim. No, it's metame only if it came from one, one person. Tosfos actually discusses over here that, after all, you have when it comes to flesh from a mess, after all, you have that, you have less than a kazayas of one and less than a kazayas of the other, and you have dinim about that. So why do we need a special limud when it comes to blood over here? So Tosfos discusses a little bit of the ins and outs of that. One point is that Tosfos makes the point that we need b'chal, the main limud over here is just to say that the blood is metame, just like the flesh of the mess. Otherwise, you would think, because you know what, you take blood from a person, and you take flesh from a person, it never completely regenerates. There's always a scar there. As opposed to you take blood from a person, it completely regenerates, and after a while, you can never tell that any blood was removed. So you wouldn't know that the blood is metame all by itself, and therefore you need a pasuk to tell us that. But But the chum was saying again that you don't really need. It's not so that if it's combined from two different people, it would be enough if it was actually. If only it was actually from one person. So there is our list of five Tanoim who all hold that Yesh Ein L'Mikra. However, Maski thought of Achava Yaakov, but Achava Yaakov asks on that. You're telling me that only those five Tanoim hold that way, but is there in fact any Tana who holds we don't go according to Mikra when it comes to Darshaning? V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa. You know, the Torah tells us, the word chalev, ches lamed veiz, could be pronounced two different ways. It could be pronounced chalev, which is the construct form of cholov, and it means the milk of, or it could also be read as the word chalev, which means the fat. So, yochol b'chalev. So maybe, the Torah is telling you that you're not allowed to cook meat in chalev. So it would mean, in other words, that you would be allowed to cook meat with milk, you're just not allowed to cook it in chalev. And the point would be, chalev itself, as it is also anyway, so therefore it would mean, if you cook meat in chalev, then you'd be, the person would be getting two malchus, one for the fact that he's eating chalev, and one for the fact that it's bos of a chalev. But how do we know that it means cholov, that it means milk? Amarta, so you say, yesh eim amikra. The fact is, you have to go according to the way it's pronounced. And we have the Kabbalah, back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the word is pronounced cholov, and therefore it means milk. So even though, seemingly, you could have read it the other way, but that's the fact is, this is how you read it, and this is how you understand it. So, and everybody agrees to that. Nobody says there's no issue of bus of cholov. So how could you say it's only some Tanoim who hold this way? When it comes out, everybody holds that way. In fact, the Ran points out, why would we think that it should be more chalav than cholav? And he says, because after all, you know, the question is that we know already chalav is osur, he says that the point is, maybe we'd say both. Maybe there's a special isur of cooking bosab chalav and also bosab cholav. Then the Maharam also gives an explanation in Rashi that maybe we would say, fine, it's also to cook in its mother's milk, but maybe it would be allowed to cook in milk from a different animal, and it's only chalev that it would be osir regardless. So in any case, the point is that we see it's not so. We know there's an issur of bosab chalev. There's no issur of bosab chalev. So obviously everybody holds that yeshem l'mikra. Ella dekula alma yesh eim l'mikra. Rather, we have to say everybody agrees that yesh eim l'mikra. When it comes to darshaning psukim, we do have to darshan according to the way it's read and not according to the way it's written. So let's go through the five points that we went through with the five tanoim, and we'll show how we can relearn them in the way that we understand now. So Rebbe Rabbanon b'Hakam Mifugi. So as far as the original machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, which is what led us into this whole thing about the word Yashi'un in the pasuk, which is pronounced as a plural, and we said it's written in the Torah Yashi'on without the vav, so we can read it as a singular, and we said that that's a matter of Yesh'im l'mikra or l'masoras. No, now we're going to understand differently. B'Hakam Mifugi, the underlying machlokas is as follows: Who are the Elikim? Rebbe Sava Yashi'un Elikim Achrini. Rebbe says what it means is like this. The Torah says that you have to come El Helikim, Ad Helikim Yavri Dvar Shneim. You're going to come to Helikim, you're going to come to the Dayanim for the Din Torah. But then when the Pasuk says Yashiun Helikim, Rebbe holds that would mean a different set of Dayanim. So it would mean, in other words, that you have two Dayanim, Helikim, at the beginning, two at the end, and therefore, so you have Sarachrini, so you have four altogether, and therefore, and as usual, you can't have a... And as usual, you can't have an even numbered based in, and therefore Rebbe is going to say that you need five. So in other words, it's not just so much that Rebbe is saying that you have to look at the pronunciation. Everybody agrees you look at the pronunciation, but rather we're saying that you have to look at the fact that it says each time Elikim, and therefore Rebbe is going to say it means a different set, a different group of two Dayanim each. And therefore that means four, and then you're going to have, and then you're going to have five. Rabbanon Savi Yashiun Heyach Vahai. Rebbe, the Chachamim holds it's the same group. Asher Yashiun Alekim means the same Alekim to whom the case was originally brought to. So therefore, it means only two, and then it means only two Dayanim, and then you have three in order not to have an even number. So it's not a machloekas of Yeshem the Mikra, Yeshem the Masoras. It's just a machloekas of whether you're understanding the Asher Yashiun Alekim to be implying a different group than the first set. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. What about Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz with his discussion with his Talmidim about how we know that a woman after giving birth to a baby girl is Tomei for 2 weeks and not for 70 days? So we said because he learns from the words, from the fact that it says Shvai, from the fact that it's pronounced Shvayim. Fine. Like Tzligir, Abon Alei. Look, the Chachamim don't argue with him. If we found the Chachamim arguing with him, then we could talk about Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMasaris. He's telling them you go according to Mikra doesn't mean that anybody else holds differently. Next, Beis Hillel. What about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where we said before about the number of applications of blood for a chatas? No, the reason why Beis Hillel says that it's enough to do it one time, even by a chatas, is not based on the fact that they look only at the words as written in the Sefer Torah and ignore the pronunciation. They would hold only Yesh Eim LaMikra and ignore Yesh Eim LaMasaris. They would only hold Yesh Eim LaMasaris and ignore Yesh Eim LaMikra. No, not so. D'tanya, there's a different reason. We learn in a Braisa when it says v'chipper, 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 again by these three times where it tells about the chatas, three times it says the word v'chipper, that he should bring kapara. So mipnei, now the reason why it has to say that is mipnei hadin, because otherwise you would think logically that you would think that matona achas mehen me'akavis, because you would think like this v'halo dinu, you would think to make a binyan av as follows nema domim lamata. It says it talks about korbanos that have to be brought, where the blood has to be applied to the lower half of the mizbeach. As when we get to Masechet Zvachim, that's the Shem, we'll learn about. There are certain korbanos where the blood has to be applied to the top half of the mizbeach, and others where davka has to be applied to the bottom half of the mizbeach. So when we have over here, the word lamata, Rashi says actually the word lamata over here can have two meanings. It can mean lamata as in physically lower on the mizbeach, as in other words, that you have, Rashi's first explanation is lamata, and lamaila mean as it usually does in the Gemara, in these kinds of contexts, means further down and further up, meaning you have like this. It talks about the chatas behema in Perek Dalet of Vayikra. It talks about those various kinds of chatas that we had so far. Then in Perek Hay, it talks about where you have a case where a person brings a chatas ha'oif. Where various cases where a person brings a bird as a chatas. And there it mentions that it has to be applied to the wall of the mizbeach, from which we learn that it means the lower half. So in other words, the idea is a chatas behema, the blood is applied to the upper half of the mizbeach, a chatas ha'oif, on the contrary, it's applied to the lower half. So Rashi's first explanation of lamata and lamaila, lamata means further along in the psukim, and lamaila means above, earlier in the psukim. The second explanation is lamata means physically lower on the mizbeach, and lamaila means on the upper half of the mizbeach. Actually, it actually brings three explanations. You have those two, and then Rashi says another explanation, lamata, would be even further in Parashas Vayikra, where it talks about the korban osham. So Rashi actually prefers the second explanation, which is lamata and lamaila means the spatial locations on the mizbeach, the lower half or the other half, or the upper half. Anyway, so like this, nema matan domim lamata. So it says you have an application of blood, nema domim lamata. It says an application of blood below, meaning according to Rashi's most preferred explanation, on the lower half of the mizbeach. And then the pasuk also had told us that you have blood that has to be applied to the upper half of the mizbeach. Ma domim hamur lamata shenosin matana achas kippur. Now, just like the ones on the lower half of the mizbeach, if you do b'dieved one matana of them, then you're b'dieved mechaper, because by them it doesn't say karen nois in the first place. It never says anything about applying them to the corners of the mizbeach. So therefore, it would just mean as long as one application of blood of them reaches the mizbeach, then they're kosher. And even Beis Shammai had agreed to that after all. So therefore, af domim hamur lamayla, the same way, the blood that's applied to the upper half shenosin matana. You did only one application, kipper, then you would be mechaper. So that's one way of saying, but continues Beis Hillel, oi kloch derchzu. On the other hand, you could go in a different direction. You could say, nema domim bachutz v'nema domim bifnim. On the other hand, we also have, the Torah is telling us, there's blood that has to be applied outside, on the mizbeach hachitzon, and then we also have blood that has to be applied inside, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the Kodesh. And ma domim hamur mifnim im chiser achas me'amatonas le'osav le'klum. And with the ones inside, the fact is, as we talked about before, matona achas mehen me'akavas, you leave out even one application, then the whole thing is possible. That Rashi says we learn from psukim, the Gemara in Menachos learns it out from psukim. So you would say, so you would think maybe you should analogize the ones on the outside Mizbeach to the ones on the inside Mizbeach and say you missed out even one application, then it's possible. So we don't know. So which one do you do? Do you say on the one hand that we're going to compare the ones on the, we're going to compare the ones on the upper half of the Mizbeach to the lower half of the Mizbeach and say therefore that one Matana is enough? Or are we going to compare them to the ones that are brought on the inside Mizbeach and then every single Matana has to be done? Well, the Sibyl continues, Nidalei Midoma. Well, let's figure out which one is it more similar to? Yes, we have two possible places that we can learn it to. So let's use logic to figure out. It's more logical we should derive from what's outside both the chatas that have both the chatas behema where the blood is on the top half of the mizbeach and the chatas oif where it's on the bottom half. Both of them are done on the outside mizbeach, so it's more logical to derive one from the other the same way as the ones below, or not just the chatas oif, any kind, most kinds of korbanos where the blood is offered on the bottom half of the mizbeach. All of those are on the outside Mizbeach, so therefore it's more logical to learn the Chatos from those. The Chatos is different from them because it's on the upper half, but nevertheless, we can still do, it's more logical to derive from them because they're all on the same Mizbeach. It's less logical to derive what happens by the outside Mizbeach from what happens on the inside one. Fine, by the inside one, Matan Achas Mein Me'akovas. That doesn't mean it should be on the outside one. But oy kloch derech zu, even that's not good enough. You could also go in a different direction. Chatas v'arba kronos. After all, one is a chatas, and the pasuk says four kronos. We should derive what happens with a chat, where the pasuk calls it a chatas and says that and mentions that it has to be put on the four corners. Derive that from another chatas where it also mentions the four corners, namely the chatois where the blood is brought inside the heichal, where they're also a chatas after all. The par helam davashal tzibur, the par kohen gadol, the par of yom kippur, etc. All of those are chatois, and the blood is brought into the heichal. And all of them, the pasuk says that it has to be applied on the four corners of the mizbeach apnimi. So maybe you should draw an analogy between the mizbeach, between the chatas, which is brought on the mizbeach achitzen, from the one inside. Yes, they're two different mizbeachas, but both of them are chatas, and both of them are four kronos, as opposed to the shlomim, or the osham, or whatever, which are, yes, they're on the outer mizbeach, but they're a different kind of korban, and it doesn't say by them four kronos. So because of that, we would have thought to learn from the inner mizbeach, and therefore we would say matana achas man na'akovas. Therefore, tamad leimer v'chiper. That is why the Torah has to say three times the word v'chiper mipnei hadin, because of these possible limudim. So why does it say three times? It means chiper afri shalei nasan el shloisha. The first one tells us that even though you're supposed to do it four times, even if you did it only three, then you'd still be yotze. Kippur, Afapishle Nasan al Shtayim. Another Vechipur tells us even if you did only two. And Kippur, Afapishle Nasan al Achas. And then the final Vechipur tells us that he's Mechapur even if he did only one. So that is why the Hillel says that you're getting away with doing only one, even by a Chatas, and you're Yoitza, and the Korban is kosher, not because Yesh Eim Mikra versus Yesh Eim Masoras, but because, since it says three times Vechipur, and then we learn from that to reduce the number of times that the blood of the Chatas has to be applied to the Mizbeach. So therefore, Sabbath Hillel is not saying because Yesh Eim L'Masurus, they agree Yesh Eim L'Mikra, you have to look at the pronunciation, but they're saying those words V'chiper teach us something else. Okay. Next, Rav Shimon V'Rabbanan. What about the Machloikas Rav Shimon and the Chachamim about the number of walls of the Sukkah, where again we said before that Rav Shimon gets his opinion by looking at Yesh Eim L'Mikra, and the Chachamim got their opinion by looking at Yesh Eim L'Masurus. No, now that we're saying everybody agrees Yesh Eim L'Mikra, we would say B'ha Pligi. The Machloikas rather would be as follows. Rav Shimon Sava Schacha LeBoikra. Rav Shimon holds the fact that the Sukkah needs Schach does not require a pasuk to tell us that. The whole reason why it's called a Sukkah is because of the Schach. So therefore, according to him, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that you need the Schach. So now you have all times when it says Vasukkos. And again, fine, we're going to follow Yesh Eim L'Mikra. We're going to say that we have in effect six times when it tells us that you need schach, because it says basukos three times, and each one is read as a plural, and that makes six. So fine, he says that therefore you don't need a pasuk to tell us about the schach, and therefore the halacha of Moshe Sinai tells us that just you that you take off one sukkah, one basukkah, l'gufa, as we said before, because you need one to tell us mechala. You need to sit in a sukkah. That leaves you four, and therefore he says, so now halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells you the fourth wall doesn't have to be complete. It's enough for it to be one tefach. V'rabbanan, sabri, schocha, boy, kra. The chum hold, no, the very fact that it needs sach also require the pasuk. So therefore they're going to say as follows. Out of the three basukkahs, we subtract one to tell us that you need to sit in a sukkah in the first place. Out of the remaining, in effect, four mentions, two, each of which is a plural making four, you subtract one because that one tells us that you need schach, that leaves you with three. And the three, out of the three, the Halacha Moshe Misinai comes and tells you to that one of them is needed, it needs to be only a tefach. So again, we don't have to say that the machlokas depends on Yesh'im Lemikra versus Yesh'im Lemasodas. They both agree, Yesh'im Lemikra, but the question is whether you need one to tell us that there's a schach, that there's schach or not. So the Ran points out, actually, if you didn't, after all, I mean, fine, it's one or the other. You need either walls or sach. What else, what else would a sukkah mean? So he says, because after all, you could have said, for example, the first pasuk could be talking about, let's say you put sach just on top of four poles in the corners without walls. So you need, no, the sach has to be, you need to know that there are walls in the first place. You need to know that there are rules about the sach, tas, of lemon, osuri, and so forth. So therefore, so ultimately, so you, the Chacham are saying, you need a pasuk to tell us the basic concept of not just that you need sach, but what kind of sach there is. And therefore they say you have one fewer to tell us about the number of walls. Okay, Rav Akiva, Rabbanan. Finally, the fifth machlokas that we talked about, the fifth case of Yesh'im Lemikra that we talked about, Rav Akiva versus the Chachamim. We can say they're not arguing on Yesh'im Lemikra or Yesh'im Lemasodas. Baha Pligi, the argument is as follows. Rav Akiva sava nafshois tauti, mashma. Rav Akiva holds the word nafshois implies plural, so therefore it means two people. V'rabbanan savri nefashas da'ala mashma. The Chum hold, when it says nafshois, doesn't specifically mean two people right here in this oil. It means in general people. It means in general. I'll call nafshois neis. The Kohen Gadol should not go into any place where there's dead people. We don't mean dead people specifically too. We just mean in general. I mean, we just mean a plural as in an indefinite plural. So therefore, so according to them, only when you have the revius of blood comes from one person, only then is it matami. So everybody so far, it comes out, is holding that Yesh'im Lemikra. But the Gemara asks, but Udhula, now the other way around, Udhulama Yesh'im Lemikra, you're telling me that everybody agrees then that Yesh'im Lemikra, Vahatanya, I'll give you a brisa that shows that we do say that some Tanoim hold that you go according to the Masodas, according to the way it's written in the Torah. Vahatanya, we learn a brisa when it comes to Tefillin, L'taitofos, three times the Torah uses the word L'taitofos, and three out of the four parashiyos of Tefillin, you have that word. Sort of, and again, two of them are written chaser, and one of them is written mole. So therefore, the same kind of thing. Harekan arba. So you have a hint to four of them altogether. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says. So Harekan arba. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says. There you see that you need four parshiyos and you need four batim in the Tefillin Shorosh. Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need to learn it that way. Tat b'kaspi shtayim pas v'afriki shtayim, because the word toitofos is made up of the word tat, or toit, however you pronounce it, whatever, and pas, or pois, or whatever, and in kaspi and afriki, respectively, those words each mean two, so two plus two equals four. A couple of interesting things in that. First of all, it's possible that those are both cognate with words in English. What Kaspi and Afriki are, what those languages are, we don't know for sure. Kaspi might be some language from someplace near the Caspian Sea. Afriki, some say, might be a language of Africa. Some say it might be a language of a place called Phrygia, which is nowadays part of Turkey. Whatever. There is an interesting idea. The word tat might actually be distantly related to the word tu in English. And the word pass might be distantly related to the word both in English. Whatever the case, in those languages, those words meant two each. So therefore, so the Akiva says, from that alone, you can learn that there are four parashiyos in the Tefillin. So again, this doesn't necessarily agree exactly with our Masorah as the way we have it. But again, so actually Tosfos actually brings up the problem as follows. In all the cases we were talking about till now, with Nafshois and Sukkos and all the rest of them, the question was whether the Vav was written before the Sof, which would allow us to read it, which would force us to read it with a plural, Ois, Vav Sof, which means a plural, versus without the Vav there, which makes it that it's a singular. Here, on the other hand, Tosfos points out, it's true, in our Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzos, the words L'Tetofos are spelt differently in the different places, but Rashi points out that, but Tosfos points out, the problem is that there's none of them have the Vav before the Sof. The third time, what it is you have a Vav elsewhere in the world, in the word. You have the word L'Tetofos, and in one place it's written with a Vav between the two tesses. So how are we learning a plural? So how is Rabbi Shmuel learning a plural from that? And Tosfos gives a long discussion over here, not so long, but whatever. Tosfos gives a discussion about a concept which we learned in Bava Basra called Gurdin Umaisifin Vidoshin. Sometimes a way of doushening words in a pasuk is to take letters from one word and attach them to a different word and resulting in new words which then we can doushen. Tosfos gives an example from Zvachim. We had an example in Bava Basra. But Tosfos discusses over here in different other Mephoshim after them, discuss the rules. When can we do that? We can't just indiscriminately take letters from words and rearrange them, then we could make anything out of it. So can we in fact do that over here? Can we take the Vav from between the two tesses and apply it and put it as though it was before the Sof and use it for the Drasha? Not necessarily. Is it so simple to do that? Maybe we can only do Gurin and Masif and Vidoshin from the end of one word to the beginning of another word or something like that. Anyway, Tosfos gives another explanation that we're not doushening from the Vav in the middle of the word L'Tetofos, but rather the fact that one time it says U'L'Tetofos. So that Vav gives us something extra, and therefore we're going to say L'Tetofos, U'L'Tetofos. So that extra Vav teaches us something extra, and therefore it comes out four, says Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't doushen that way, so therefore he says you have to doushen from tas and pas respectively. There is the question, by the way, how is it that the Gemara is assuming that there are words in the Torah depending on Kaspi and Afriki? So there's an interesting idea, actually, that the Shalah HaKadosh says, these are words that were originally from Lashon Kodesh, but they dropped out of use in Lashon Kodesh, and then they remained in other languages where they ended up there after the splitting of the languages by the Tower of Babel. These words ended up in those languages, and they continued to be used, whereas in Lashon Kodesh they fell out of use. But they are originally words from Lashon Kodesh, and therefore the Torah can be using them. Anyway, so the point is, Rabbi Shmuel clearly holds we go according to the way that it's written in the Torah, because if it was a matter of pronunciation, then all of them are pronounced the Tetophis. So Ela La'olam please. So no, after all, we were going to say yes, there is a machlokas among the Tanoim, which one we follow, Yesheim L'mikra or Yesheim L'masaris. Vahani Mili ki pligi. But when do we say that they argue Heichad the Shani Kromi Masaris? Where you have there's a contradiction between them. Where the way that we read it is different than the way that it's written in the Torah. So therefore, so now we have to doubt in one versus the other. Avohai chelav v'cholav d'ki adoninu. But we asked at the bottom of the previous Amud that everybody agrees that the mitzvah, that there's an issue of basa b'cholav, not basa b'chelav. The difference is because the words cholav and chelav are both written with the exact same letters, so it's not like there's any reason to say that it should mean one more than the other. So therefore we can say that the chiyadonin, they're exactly the same letters. Everybody agrees, yeshem lemikra, everybody's going to agree that we follow the pronunciation, and we don't say yes, but those letters could have had a different pronunciation as well. Only when you have that the pronunciation is one way, but the way it's written in the Sefer Torah could have suggested a different pronunciation, then we have the machlokas, which would explain all the machlokas that we had before. And also this one about tefillin. Okay. So what about the Gemara asks about a Yira Yeroa Deki Adoninu? What about though? You have like this, when the Torah says Shalosh, that three times a year Yeroa Kol Zechurcha, all of your males should be seen in the Beis Mikdash. And the word could also be read as if it said Yireh, he will see. And in fact, we have a Machlokas Tanoim about which one is more important. Do we doubt in something from that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Yochanan ben Dehavai Omer, Meshumer of Yehuda ben Tema, Asuma be'echa be'enav. He says a person who is blind in one eye, potter min ariyah, would be potter from coming on aliyah l'regel and seeing and being seen by Hashem. Shenema yireh yeroah, because the pasuk says yeroah, but we can also read it as though it said yireh. So it means he will, yeroah will mean he will be seen by Hashem, but yireh, the way it's written in the Torah, the same letter is yud resh aleph hey, can also be read yireh, he will see. And therefore that means we can darshan from that, kederach shebol liris kach bole rois. We learn from that the same way as he comes to see Hashem, the same way Yeroah, he will be seen by Hashem. Rashi explains, in other words, that the Yireh and the Yireh refers to Hashem. Hashem will see him, and Yeroah means he will be seen by, Hashem. But that's how Tosfos understands Rashi anyway, and they explain differently that, they explain Yireh means the Yeroah calls Chocha, the person comes to be seen by Hashem, and Yireh, the person has to be able to see and perceive Hashem. So therefore we learn from that, just like when Hashem, when a person is being seen by Hashem, just like to see is with both eyes, the same way, to be seen is with both eyes, meaning in other words, so Yochanan ben Dehavai learns from that, since Hashem is seeing you with two eyes, therefore you have to also be able to see with two eyes. Or according to the way Tosfos understands it, Rashi, the point would be, just like you come to be seen by Hashem with both of his eyes, the same way you have to be able to see Hashem with both of your eyes, so to speak. Whatever the case, the point is that we see that he is darshaning from the fact that the word is written Yud Reish Aleph Hey, and it can equally be read Yireh or Yeroah, and he darshans from that ambiguity, whereas the Chachamim disagree, even though it's the same letters. Here we said by Chelev and Cholov that if it's the same letters, everybody agrees that we darshan only the way it's read. But here we have it, the same letters, and we have a machlokas, whether we doubt it, the way it's written or the way it's read. No, because there's a different way we can learn when it comes. It's true. There would be a machlokas of yesh em l'mikra, yesh em l'masodas, even when it comes to words that are written the same way. So therefore, there could be an amp. So that explains yira and yeroi. We're going to have a machlokas whether which one is more important. But when it comes to chalev ima, it's different. The pasuk says, don't cook it, implying derech bishul osar Torah. The Torah asks it only something which would involve cooking. Now, when you cook milk and meat, then when you cook meat and milk, there's actual cooking involved because the milk is liquid. So that would be called, that the definition of bishul is cooking. In a liquid, that would work. When it comes to chalev, though, that wouldn't be cooking. That would be frying. And the Torah doesn't say, lo tetagin gdi b'chalevim. It says, lo tevashal. So therefore, that means we're talking about something that's cooking. Namely, it has to be something that remains liquid, namely a milk. As opposed to fat, which would be called frying. So therefore, because it says lo tevashal, that's ultimately why we learn. So it's not a matter of how the word could have been pronounced differently. Here we ignore the other possibility that it would have been chalev, because then it wouldn't work with the fact that it says lo tevashal. Tosfos brings another explanation also, that the Torah is implying it's only also because you cook them together. As opposed to chalev, the Torah elsewhere tells us is also period. So another way of understanding is the Torah is telling you something where each one of them by itself would have been mutter, and only the combination is also is what you're also to do. As opposed to with chalev, where to begin with, chalev itself is also to eat. So that would be another way of showing that it must mean b'chalev imoy, in the milk rather than in the fat. The Ramah, the Yad Ramah, brings another point as well, is if it meant to not cook it with the chalev, then it would say im chalev imoy. Ba chalev imoy implies that it's cooked in the actual milk, and then therefore that means that the issur applies to milk and not to fat.